This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to My Favorite Murder.
Welcome. That's Karen. I'm Georgia.
That's Georgia.
Thanks for
two girls, one murder.
Obsessed with true crime, both of us.
With bad things.
Bad things happening. We love it. We want to know all about it, so it'll never happen to us.
And it turns out, so do a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Because lots of people have been telling us about how much they like it.
We got a lot of emails from the last episodes of people telling us their town murders, which I love and is like so exciting. And we haven't read them yet because we want to surprise each other with it.
Yes.
But so many, I would look at the first line in Gmail and it would say like these little things because I'm fucking curious and I want to know what they say. But yeah. So many people are like, I was always so embarrassed that this was a thing that I was into, which I'm like, what? I try to talk to everyone about it.
I know. Well, that's how I felt when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like that I was like crazy
or people would think that you wanted to murder people,
right? Exactly. And then the second I started doing stand-up and every other stand-up comic knew every serial killer backwards and forwards, I was like, oh, I get it.
I wonder what it is. Anxious people.
Yeah. It's that. Probably. And it's so fascinating.
Yeah,
it's like the worst of humanity.
Yeah. I wonder if it's a little OCD-ish too, where you're like, well, I need to know everything about this now.
Yeah.
And everything that's related to it.
Yeah, please help me prepare for when I run face-to-face into John Wayne Gacy.
Because now you and I are going to be able to fucking beat up any serial killer murderer. I found a new podcast, not new, it's really old, but they talk about murders and stuff a lot. And maybe I shouldn't plug it because then it's like...
Go ahead.
No, it's really good. It's called Have You Thinking Sideways Podcast?
No, I've never heard of that.
It's like a girl and two dudes and they just talk about like weird shit. And a lot of it is murder. It's great.
I like it. I started listening to Joe DeRosa and Pat Walsh's podcast, I'll See You in Hell.
Oh, my God.
Which, because I had to drive home from San Francisco yesterday, yeah. 6 hours, so I listened to many. And it was really hilarious. I recommend that.
What do they talk about? They talk about
They put on
movies?
A horror movie, but then they just talk over it. You can't hear it or anything. They just tell you what movie it is, and they talk about it incidentally as they have conversations.
It sounds like it shouldn't work, but I bet it's fucking great.
Well, it's so great because they both have these insane comprehensive... encyclopedic knowledge of movies.
Right.
So any tangent they go on, they know exactly who and what they're talking about, which of course was a real sore spot for me.
Yeah.
As anytime I bring up a subject, I'm like, you know that thing that happened that time? Hold on.
Well, you need like the right person to fill in the blanks.
Yes.
And you're just like, oh, this is why I'm friends with you is because you like I was just rambling and you filled it in and that's the best.
That's what we do, right?
It's totally what we do. Oh, I was going to make you say the last part. Didn't work.
I guess I'm not good at that part.
Let's end this podcast.
Do.
Oh, thank you.
I'm really excited, audience, because Georgia got new couches.
Ooh.
And when I was listening to our first episode, there's a sound in the background the entire time.
It's
me squeaking on my couch. Like, I'm just constantly moving around.
Oh, it was a leather couch.
It was making me laugh so hard.
Oh, God, I didn't even notice.
So it's all cleared up.
I got these for podcasting, so that they don't make background noise in podcasting.
Perfect podcasting couch.
You can write them off. Wait, not that I make any money on podcasting. This is not a money-making venture, everyone. Don't quit your job.
You never know.
You don't ever know.
You don't ever know.
You don't ever know. Like getting murdered.
Yep.
Should we jump into it or should we talk about Making a Murderer? Have you been reading all the Making a Murderer theories?
Well, the natural backlash has happened.
Yeah.
Pretty
sure he's guilty now. Are you? I'm pretty sure he's guilty now.
Are you really?
Yes.
I think that's very adult of you to be able to change positions.
Yeah.
Really?
It doesn't feel good.
Well, look, here's the thing, and this is the one thing I agree with. In general, I think he's innocent, and I think very bad things are happening in that state. I think people, there's a natural backlash when you get kind of spoon-fed an answer, not an answer, but like a villain, and like, here's really what happened, and they're leaving just enough pieces free so you can put the mystery together yourself, and then everyone thinks they got it, and they're on it. So there's always the hot take of like, no, actually.
Right. Because everyone wants to know details. Right. Well, that's the problem, is the people who are looking up details are like, oh, this documentary was really one-sided and you guys left so much shit out, which makes me suspect of you.
Yeah.
And suspect of your conclusion.
Yeah, but none of the details that I read, and I admittedly only read maybe two articles, skimmed, half skimmed while I was doing two other things. Mm-hmm. But the piece of evidence that they brought up didn't sway me toward him. They didn't, it was like that thing of like,
which one was it?
I don't think it's proof. The things that they mention that was evidence that got left out was not stronger evidence than like bones in the fire pit. Or
do you know what I think that someone on that property, someone's, did it, but maybe it wasn't Steve Avery, and I think Brendan Dassey knows or participated in it.
Really?
Yeah, because if you go back, which I've done now, and read his whole 10 hours of transcript, there's shit they're not feeding him that are too, it's too much of a narrative.
But he said it's from Kiss the Girls. I remember that part near the end.
I know,
like,
I love
in the courtroom
part.
He's like, it's from Kiss the Girls.
Yeah, no, he might have made that up. There's some shit that it's like, this is a narrative you're telling, and you're too stupid to like make up this story that sounds this much of a narrative.
Right. It's just that no, zero blood anywhere.
I know, which is why I'm like, it probably happened somewhere else, and maybe it wasn't Steve. I just changed.
I see.
It's been 3 minutes, and I've already changed my mind.
The family. Well, no, I mean, I think that's good. You have to continually reapproach it. Like the district circuit court judge that you are, and always stay neutral.
I am. Did you know I went to school?
Yeah.
For that.
But I don't know. I'm much more interested in, like, you can tell that there's a very real systemic problem in that.
That's not even. I'm not talking about that.
Yeah.
That shit's.
Those people do whatever they want.
Yeah.
You can tell that district attorney just does whatever he wants.
I think the key was planted. I think that. Probably, maybe the blood was planted. I don't think that he got a fair trial and everything. It's what's interesting. One of the things that I kind of led me down a rabbit hole is people are saying that the key that they found, that's a spare key. That's like maybe the brother there. Like, we know it's Stephen Avery, and he gave him a spare key. The brother gave her spare key to him to like plant. And there's like a photo that they keep showing of her standing by her car with her camera and stuff. And you can see her big old keychain, her holding it in there. It's like, so that her purse wasn't found. Nothing was found. So.
And then the ex-boyfriend, there's the picture where he has a scratch on his hand.
Right.
Like a human fingernail scratch that's really long.
Yeah.
I don't think
they had anything to do with it. I think they probably found the car. But I bet they like trespassed onto the Steve Avery. This is all based on shit that I've read on Reddit too, by the way. I'm not taking any fucking credit for this.
No.
Found the car because they knew that she was going there, called the cops up, and it was an illegal fucking find. And so they made that woman who was in the search party go find the car.
Right.
Does this make any, nobody, anyone who's listening who hasn't watched it? Everyone's watched it.
Everyone's watched it in America and decided it's going to be interesting to see if anything actually really, what happened with that? Were you reading these papers off of that anonymous, like file dump?
No,
you know, anonymous went in and like released all those files. I'm interested. I don't know. But then there was a thing today that, was it today or yesterday that was, there's a serial killer that they think is good for her murder.
Oh, I fucking totally. He's in the background of in the video.
Yeah.
And there's a serial killer. He was known for going to the trials of the people he would frame.
Yeah.
But he's a big old fat unhealthy dude.
Well, sorry, what's the problem?
Well, how could he like a young sprite woman? Although I guess if you're like, help me, I need help. And you just push her in the van.
Yeah, it's a classic Buffalo Bill scenario.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. That
Can you help
guy.
Me out for a second? What are you, size 14?
You're a big old fat girl. You're a big old fat girl.
She's a big old fat person.
I don't want to hurt your dog.
get me out of here, you bitch. Me and my sister just watched this, Silence of Lambs, and I was saying Clarice Starling's lines 2 seconds before she would say them. And this is how I know my sister loves me. She never told me to shut up. Because we've been watching TV together for so long, she's just used to my insanity, but I couldn't not do it.
That's nice. I do that, and then I apologize the whole time, but I still keep doing it.
Yeah.
I come back with Vince. I'm like, I'm sorry. But I like just keep fucking doing it.
Tell me his name, Dr. Lecter. How do you not do that when you know that that's what she's going to say and you can do it just like her?
That is the best movie.
It's really
Did your niece watch it with you?
No.
Oh, God. I was like, she's going to have a nightmare for the rest of her life.
She's only 9. No.
I think I had seen it by then. I think I'm ruined.
You saw it when you were 9?
I think I saw it when I was very young. I don't know. Whatever.
I read the book in college and actually I was home alone all day and began to think I was Clarice Starling as I was reading the book. Oh. I was so into it. I went insane.
You probably were.
I kind of was. Did I already tell you that story?
No.
Well, it's true.
Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager, and companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information, so you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Georgia, I just need to ask you kind of a general question. Who among us hasn't stumbled across a 5-ingredient dinner recipe or like a power washing tutorial online and thought, I want to try that?
I know I have, but usually I just bookmark and keep scrolling. It's hard to tell what content online is legit, Karen.
Well, Georgia, fortunately, Masterclass knows a pro from a foe. They only work with experts so you can learn with confidence.
With 200 classes taught by the world's best instructors on topics like cooking, photography, writing, and more, Masterclass has something for everyone.
Once you sign up for their annual membership, you'll have unlimited access to their full catalog for just $10 a month.
Get to know yourself better with RuPaul's self-expression and authenticity class, or learn about problem solving from the science guy himself, Bill Nye.
Masterclass was designed to enhance your life no matter how busy you are. Their sessions are made up of 10 to 15 minute video lessons that can be taken in any order so you can learn at your own pace.
I love it. When you sign into Masterclass, it's like the whole world opens up and you can be in there for hours just learning stuff. I learned about dog training. You can do an improv lessons with Amy Poehler.
Oh, there's the great relationship expert Esther Perel. You can get in there and learn how to build deeper connections with her.
And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/MFM.
Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/MFM.
Masterclass.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
Hey, Karen.
Hey.
What's your favorite murder?
Well, I thought it would be good that I would do a little damage control since on our last episode, I was like sloppy and inaccurate talking about Cropsy. That was one of the ones where we were literally guessing what the name of the thing was I was trying to talk about.
Please let everyone know that this is not an official report of anything that's happened.
We're not doctors.
You're looking in the wrong place.
We're not therapists. No. But the story has all of the elements of murder, you know, creeper, urban legend story, everything I love. It's got a mental hospital. It's got the woods.
It's almost like that's too much if someone had written this thing.
Yeah. It's like you can pick one or the other, but you can't have a mental hospital in the woods. It's crazy.
I haven't seen it in so long. Tell me everything.
Okay, so this is the story of Cropsey was an urban legend on Staten Island, and there was a hospital named Willow Brook, and it is a hospital for mentally challenged children. And they built it in, say, like the early 40s. And it is on Staten Island, set in the woods. And
already creepy as fuck.
It was a state institution, and it was built for 4,000 patients. But by 1965, it had 6,000 children in it.
It was built for how many?
4,000.
Oh,
so it was
God.
Way over capacity. And this was back when people used to dump their children.
Totally.
So, and it didn't matter if they had Down syndrome or if they were very, very, you know, there was something really wrong with them.
Or they had like cerebral palsy.
Yes.
And they would just be like later
Tons
days.
Of cerebral palsy kids were completely intelligent and 100%
yeah.
there, just dumped. Oh. And so what ended up happening was, of course, because it's like a state-funded hospital, so overflowing with patients. What's the word I'm looking for?
I got it. It's good. Go with it.
Understaffed, overpopulated. And so they end up, a reporter finally goes in. When we talked about it on the last episode, I said something really grandiose, like Robert Kennedy shut it down. But
Geraldo Rivera.
Geraldo Rivera. So
but
Kennedy saw it in the 68 and said, this is a snake pit, this is a disgrace, and they started doing all these reviews. And what had happened was all these children being in this close proximity, they found out it was like they were just in rooms naked, being hosed down, horrible. There's no lighting, it was crazy. And a bunch of them started getting hepatitis.
Oh,
so then they had medical studies where they were testing hepatitis on these children.
Right, they're like, might as well do some fucking scientific testing.
Exactly. And they were basically giving them all hepatitis. They were getting it. With all of this, these social workers finally went in there, saw the conditions. They got a reporter in there, and that's what led. So a woman started writing exposés for like a local newspaper, and then that's how Geraldo got on the scene. He worked as an investigative reporter for WABC in New York. So he went there, and they did an expose story that ended up winning a Peabody.
Holy
because
shit.
It was so.
And they just kind of like they went when their doctors were gone and stuff, right? Or the doctors let them in?
I don't know about the Geraldo part.
Okay.
I don't know how he got in. But we talked about this before. When you see the videotape, and there is a documentary called Willow Brook, like it's something like The Great Shame or something like that. It's it gets mentioned a lot in all the research, but he basically went in and like the only lighting was the light on the camera. It's
it looks
so
like,
creepy.
It looks like a American Horror Story, like Asylum. Like
totally,
it's just exactly what you think it's supposed to be. Like it would be like
30 kids in a room, naked, sitting
like
on the
huddling.
Floor, a cement floor, rocking back and forth.
And then they talked to one guy, and he was like one of the patients, and he's like, I have cerebral palsy and I am completely mentally functioning on 100%.
Yeah.
And they, yeah.
And I'm trapped in here.
Right.
Nightmare. Okay. So, right. So that alone is a nightmare.
Terrifying.
That's Willowbrook nightmare.
Okay.
Geraldo being in it isn't great, but it ends up, with all that and the expose, they pass legislation, but you know, about like, the rights of, civil rights thing for mm-hmm. patients and stuff, all this stuff. Well, so then the urban legend pops up. So they ended up closing it in 1987, but they basically closed it in 72 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
After this expose came out, they shipped all of the patients to all different hospitals around, and there was only like 200 patients left. So it was basically empty, and that's when the urban legend started, where it was there's a mental patient that's still on the grounds because there's a tunnel system underneath the hospital. And he's living in the tunnels at night. He comes out and steals children. And that was the big thing on Staten Island in the
80s. Oh, my God. How fucking terrifying to live in Staten Island.
Crazy, right? Yeah. And so the high school kids, the big thing was go through the woods and get to the mental hospital and, like, touch the wall of it or whatever.
Absolutely not.
And Cropsey's out there with you. So, and there's a great documentary called Cropsey where they go into all this. They have all the information that you need if you're fascinated because it's really good and fascinating. So
I just imagine like parents in the 80s being like, you be good or Cropsey's going to come get you.
Yeah.
In Staten Island. And you're like, well, actually that could happen.
So actually it's happening.
My mom would say, you be good, or I'm going to call the Indian reservation and have them come get you, which is like so racist.
My grandmother used to say, don't put, like, if you were holding money,
yeah,
she'd say, don't put it in your mouth. It could have been in a Chinaman's ear.
Like, you're gonna put money in your fucking mouth. B, oh my God, racist
in the, just in like a chipper grandma way.
Right.
So anyway, okay. So okay. Now we're gonna introduce a new character in this story.
Okay.
And it's a man named Andre Rand. And he was, he's described in one of the pages that I read as a mentally incompetent, convicted child sex offender.
That's fun.
So he's got it all.
Yeah.
And he was a janitor at Willowbrook from 1966 to 1968.
I feel like anyone you're going to hire to be a janitor there, you have to be like, no, you're fired, because why? Like, you're crazy, clearly.
Yes. Okay. Well, and you got to think, if these children were being housed like animals,
yeah,
like not, no better than animals, yeah, probably worse in some ways, the staff that were there letting this happen, yeah, and looking at it every day, not the greatest people you're going to want.
Let's say they're not
around. We can pretty
sure. I'm sure there's a couple gems in there, like, I'm staying because they need me and I'm the only hope they have, but the majority probably, I mean, in life there's probably 1 out of 100 people who even like that.
Yeah.
So
you're gonna get people who are real good with throwing a bucket of water on a bunch of mentally ill children and walking out of the room. You're good with that, Andre? Okay, great, you've got the job.
Okay, go, go,
go. So so this guy gets the job in 66. Well, in 69, he works there from 66 to 68. Mm-hmm. In 69, he attempts to rape a 9-year-old girl, and just by chance, a cop car is driving by. He takes a 9-year-old girl into his car and to an empty lot, and takes off his clothes. Her clothes are off. A cop car drives by. He
sometimes
gets caught.
Life works well, you know? I mean, yeah, go on.
This is an upside. This is one upside in this hideous story. He gets sentenced to 4 years. He only serves 10 months. The classic scenario.
I hate everything. This is why we have to do this podcast, is because our fucking penal system blows.
We got to talk about it. We're going to affect change.
Oh, clearly.
By laying on these couches.
The guy would have gotten 11 months if it was today because of us.
So he gets out. And then that would be 69, 71. In 72, a 9-year-old girl named Alice Pereira disappears off Staten Island. Then in 1981, 9 years later, a 7-year-old girl named Holly Ann Hughes goes missing. And the eyewitnesses saw her with Rand.
No way.
And she's never seen again. And then in 1983, this is a real highlight for me. He picks up 11 children from a YMCA in a school bus, takes them to White Castle, and then drives them to the Newark airport for 5 hours. And when he gets back, he gets arrested for kidnapping.
Who the fuck is letting a guy who's been in prison for attempted rape drive a fucking bus of children?
A school bus.
Come on, the 80s.
He
Come
rapes
on.
A 9-year-old, tries to rape a 9-year-old, and then goes ahead and gets a job driving his school
bus. The 80s needs to go to prison for fucking.
So, this was back before we realized children were constantly in danger. So, in 83, mm-hmm, an 11-year-old named Tahis Jackson disappears walking to the store. And this is 12 days after Rand is released from prison.
I bet he was buying cigarettes for his mom. Like, I bet that's what, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's the 80s.
I think that's what all of this is, because Staten Island is not that big.
No.
And I think it's like run down to the store for mommy. And it's probably, one of the girls lived in a motel. Aww, it's bad news anyway.
Okay. So that was 11 days after he got out of prison for the kidnapping?
12 days.
Fuck.
12 days. He does that. And that's the same year he did the, so he did the YMCA school bus trick and then gets out of prison. 12 days later, this kid goes missing. A girl. It's a girl. And then in 84, a 22-year-old guy who was a really low IQ goes missing. And then in 87, a girl named Jennifer Schweiger goes missing, and she has Down syndrome. And several eyewitnesses saw this guy, Andre Rand, leading her by the hand toward the woods. I mean, that alone, there's your poster for the horror movie.
Sake.
So they start searching for her And after 35 days, they find her nude body in a shallow grave on the Willowbrook property. And then a couple feet, you know, several feet away, Andre Rand has a makeshift campsite. Okay. He's been living on the Willowbrook grounds. And the whole urban legend is true. And they eventually, they charge him with kidnapping and first-degree murder, but they can't make the murder stick
and
for
Jennifer
Swigert.
And he goes to prison for 2 years?
No, no, no. They get him for first-degree kidnapping, and then they bring back... And then once he's in jail for that, he gets, like, 20 years.
Okay.
Then, in 2004, they put him on trial for the Holly Hughes disappearance, and he's convicted of kidnapping, and he gets... Now he's set to get out in 2035 or something like that when he's 95. So he's in for good. They also linked him to the disappearance of Ethel Atwell and the rape murder of Shin Lee, who are both Willowbrook aides.
I bet.
So
oh my God, that sucks.
He's
man.
A beast, and it's basically the most fascinating story of that it all was true.
What a bummer to go to work and then you get killed. Like, don't go in the woods. Don't walk to the store by yourself. But you're like, I'm just going to work.
Just going to work. Just trying to pay my rent.
Oh, fuck.
So that's Cropsey.
That's a good murder. I mean, that's what's good about it is it's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, that's the stats on this show is like, what's the worst thing you've ever heard in your life?
I mean, don't you want to, why hasn't anyone gone into the tunnels in that hospital and like dug around archaeologically and tried to find.
Karen, 100th episode. Let's fucking do it.
We get a school bus full of 11 children and drive them to Staten
Just
Island.
PayPal us the money to get plane tickets to Staten Island and to not stay on Staten Island because fuck that, we're staying in Manhattan.
We got to stay in Manhattan. Yeah. We got to see Hamilton.
Yeah.
We got to go to the shoe stores.
Yeah.
Then Cropsey.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, that was mine. What's yours, Georgia?
Well, what's interesting about both of ours is that the murderer in question, still alive in prison.
Oh.
Still alive. How are these, it's like, isn't it weird that this person, it's like in your mind, they're like, oh, they did these awful things that long ago. They're dead. Nope.
No.
They had dinner tonight.
They watched some TV.
Yeah. Had a conversation with the guard.
Perhaps they played some Bones.
Probably play Bones. Is that what people do in prison? I don't know what Bones is.
It's Domino's.
Oh. I bet that, yeah. What do you think he had for dinner? Something gross.
Chicken nuggets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had dinner, you guys. That's better than what I've had for dinner.
And he's a monster.
Speaking of monsters, okay, my favorite murder is that of Michelle Wallace. Michelle with one L. And I remember seeing, I love cold cases. Like, I love when murders get solved, of course.
Yeah.
But cold cases are my, like, passion and my dream. I'm passionate for people getting away with shit. Because it's just so curious. I'm just so curious.
Yeah.
But I also like that the answer's never, like, satisfying. It's always like, that's just some fucking janitor asshole did this to all these people. That's such a bummer. I want it to be, like, a monster or something. Okay. So, and I remember watching a cold case of this a long time ago. And the two things that stuck out to me. Okay. She's a 25-year-old photographer. This is 1974. She lives in Chicago. She's, like, this free spirit photographer, and she travels the world and taking photos and taking odd jobs and stuff. And she goes to, in 1974, goes to Oregon, spends a couple days in the Rocky Mountains just taking some photos.
I think I've seen this one.
Yeah.
Is it a Forensic Files?
I think there's a Forensic Files on it. She's leaving the Rocky Mountains, and she does the classic 1970s I want to get murdered move. Do you know what that is?
Is it hitchhiking?
It's fucking hitchhikers. It's hitchhiking. She picks up hitchhikers.
Oh, she picks them up.
She picks up two dudes.
Oh, no. What? One girl alone picks up two dudes.
What the 70s and 80s. They're going to fucking prison. Yeah.
What did they look like, I wondered, that she was like, this is fine.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was and, like, one really short or something?
Listen, short guys are strong. Don't pick up anyone.
And they're mad.
And they're angry.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a lot of hate mail for this.
No, it's fine.
I'm short. It's fine. Okay, so she drops one of them off at the bar, this one dude. And then, of course, she is never seen again. Mm-hmm. Then the guy who she dropped off, couple like finds out this girl's missing, and he's like, wait a second, she dropped me off, and then the guy I was with, who I barely knew, said, can you take me to my car actually? And the guy was like, I didn't think he had a car, so I thought that was strange. So they start looking. His name is Roy.
The guy that got dropped off at the bar is the one that says that.
Yeah, he's like, okay. I didn't think Roy is his name, had a car.
Okay.
And he's like, yo, why did you let her leave with him? Fuck. You know, like right there, you could have fucking fixed it. Anyways, Roy Mielson. Melanson? Melanson. Should have looked that up before we started. Roy Melanson, he's a drifter and a convicted rapist.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he got out after a very short time.
Sure. Why would keep him in?
Yeah, this time now he knows to kill the person so they can't ID him. You know, right. It's like that's how you do this.
That's how you progress.
I'm having a panic attack. he's found with her driver's license, camping equipment, car keys, and pawn tickets for her camera. And this is one of my favorite parts of why it stuck with me. And I can't fucking find this online now. Some reason it's not up there anymore. They find the camera at the pawn shop. They develop the film. It's all her photos in the Rocky Mountains. The very last photo is Roy sitting on a bed. Behind him laying down is a naked woman. And it's not her, so he has her camera. You know, it's like, that's the proof.
Yep.
She's missing and you robbed her and you took a photo of yourself, you fucking idiot. And I can't find that photo online. I know it was in the forensic files or whatever.
I totally remember this episode. This? Because it's so freaky.
So freaky.
But, and this guy never got caught?
No. Okay. Here's my other favorite part about this.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it's an awful story.
Okay.
5 weeks later, Michelle's mom just kills herself because she can't even deal. It's like, my daughter didn't come back. I know she's dead.
Ugh.
Kills herself. And then in 79, so what is that, 5 years later, this is the other part that's really fucked up and it stuck with me. They find just a scalp with 2 brown-haired braids on it. Like, a scalp only.
Oh, where'd they
Some
find
hiker
it?
Found it in near where she had picked up the hitchhikers.
Aye.
So just a fucking scalp. I'm gonna keep saying it because it's fucking off. Just picture
it. Do you think it was like sitting on a log or
yeah, definitely
hanging from a branch?
Probably. They showed it. There's a photo which they're hanging from a branch.
Sorry.
Well, you gotta think, like, he definitely didn't scalp her. Probably this is animal work.
Oh, you think so?
Well, I guess if it's that clean, maybe not. But I would think so.
No, I don't. I mean, I have no idea, but my first guess is, doesn't it all decompose at the same time? Like, why would the scalp still be there if nothing else is there?
Well, and maybe an animal pulled it off, like was chewing at the...
Maybe.
Everyone who's listening right now and freaking out at us and hates us so much, and we've just lost half our listeners.
Here's the thing, though. It's like, that's kind of part of what's interesting about serial killers is when they do things. It's those markers.
Mutilation.
Of like,
yeah. Not a lot of them... I don't think that's a normal fit, like a, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, sometimes it's like a calling card,
right?
Of like, oh, that's the thing, is he wants to keep their hair or remove their hair. Or I don't know, whatever. Like, it makes me think of that, of like a scalping serial killer.
I've read way too much about cutting off nipples. I just can't read about cutting off nipples anymore. I know. Your face is telling.
I'm just picturing it.
The thought of like
it hurt really bad.
It hurts to think about it. So the thought of someone doing it, you have to be just a complete sociopath.
Yeah.
Clearly you're a psychopath. Anyways, okay.
You clearly have a problem with your mother. Sorry.
That's fair.
But it's true.
That's fair. Okay. They find the scalp, but you know, it's 1979 and so they don't have a body, so they can't prosecute.
So they put it in a brown cardboard box.
Yeah.
They put it up on the shelf.
Right. In a hot room.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no body, so they can't prosecute. But it's like, well, I feel like nowadays you can prosecute without a body much more easily.
Yeah.
And then, so, 12 years goes by. No body. This woman, Kathy Young, who becomes, like, the sheriff in town, or I'm sure I'm saying that incorrect. She's not. I'm sure she's much higher up. She hires this company called NecroSearch.
Oh.
Which I remember thinking at the time, that's what I want to do. I want to work there for a living. Like, I just want to,
the name
volunteer.
Alone.
Yeah.
Volunteer.
I just want to, I want to follow them like the Grateful Dead.
I want to be the receptionist at NecroSearch. I can be like, NecroSearch, may I help you?
What's your emergency?
Skull and crossbones.
Oh my, but they have uncovered, what they do is they find, and they're really good at uncovering clandestine grave sites. So it's like, you badass motherfuckers. Is that
how? Do they have like a
farm? The website. They have a farm where they like bury pigs, dead pigs, and kind of understand the soil changes and like what, you know, what doesn't look right out in the nature. Okay. What is man made? What is placed there? These sorts of things. And like, what is the decomposition of this pile of soil or dirt, or like, you know, these kinds of things. What has been dug up in the past 10 years even that's different from the soil next to it?
Do animals scalp people and keep the braids for themselves?
Exactly.
Stuff like that.
Well, here's what happened is they took her braids and did some forensic analysis on them and found the leaves of a tree that was in a certain area of those mountains. Mm-hmm. So they went there, they spread out on that area where the trees are, day two, fucking find her bones. Whoa. What was left of them.
Wow.
I know. These guys, they've uncovered over 200 and, they've taken on over 235 cases. I don't know how many they've found, but man, these are the good guys.
Necrosearch. I love that.
I know. I bet we're at a party, we would corner these people, and I bet they get kicked out of parties a lot, though.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I would never leave a necrosearcher alone.
No, can we have a request, if anyone knows a necrosearcher, I think they're in San Francisco, to please have them be on the podcast.
I just think that's insanely fascinating. It's almost like having x-ray vision. Like, you can look at a forest or a, like, totally. You know, a ditch and know what's wrong and what, you know, what's off.
Absolutely. That's... Well, the woman who found the bones was like, they were all searching for 2 days. She goes off the trail to take a piss in the woods, which
classic.
Seems like it shouldn't be allowed if you're looking for us.
Hey, she's still human.
Yeah. And she looks and there's a ray of light flashing on a gold tooth. She finds the skull.
Oh, that's the Lord's work.
Yeah. And it was
sorry, this is where my Christian part comes in.
This is it. I know. Yeah, not before she dies when he.
No,
no,
no. It doesn't belong there.
Well, it's at the bottom of a ravine. So like someone straight tossed this person over. Like didn't even bury her.
Just threw her in.
Tossed her over. So they take Roy Melanson to trial. He is found guilty in 93. So she gets killed in 74, found guilty in 93. Since then, and I didn't know this until I started looking up to it, he's been convicted for another murder, which happened 50 days before Michelle's murder.
Mm-hmm.
In Napa in 1974.
Yeah.
A woman who was stabbed to death at a bar she owned. And they found a cigarette butt that had his DNA on it. Put it through the fucking CODIS, the most amazing thing in the world. Found his DNA match. Another woman in Louisiana who fucking, it's gruesome.
So he's done it multiple times?
Yeah, at least twice that they know of through DNA.
Wow.
But they're not taking the third one to trial because it's too expensive to do all these things, which sucks for that family.
Yes.
You know?
But they know it's him?
Yeah, now they know it's him.
But he's going to go to jail anyway, so their rationale is he's there.
Right, which is why Napa took him to trial, is because he can be eligible for parole, which I think is fucking hilarious for Michelle's murder, in like, not in like the next 10 years, eligible for parole. So they convicted him to make sure that if that ever happens,
oh, that's good,
he has to be extradited to California.
Yeah, it's very strange the way the laws still work like that, where it's just kind of like, oh, and then we let him out again.
Right.
And then, but you know what? He was real good inside, so we let him out again.
Yeah. We're like, well, at the trial, like, one of the jurors sneezed wrong, so he's out.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough money to try him again, and we think we're going to lose. So.
And we probably won't warn anybody, just to keep it interesting.
Nope.
The good thing about all of this is that hitchhiking pretty much doesn't exist anymore.
God, we've talked about this before. Like, I don't even understand. Like, I know it's like an innocent time and shit, but like, I don't think that's common sense any time in your life. Like,
no.
At any point in history.
No. I mean, think of like, if you were at a party with your friends' friends, you probably wouldn't want to be in a car with any of those people.
Yeah.
And those are like cold. So imagine if it's just anybody driving down the street.
Have you ever hitchhiked?
Is that negative of me?
No. No. What are you, you don't want to be at a party with your friends?
No, I've never hitchhiked. I've never done anything like that.
I think I have when I was a kid, but like with a friend. And what? I think the person like, it was like an Irvine where it's just like the safest place in the world. But it was idiotic. And I think the person who picked us up like yelled at us.
I did pick up two girls who were in junior high. We were driving home. We were driving up to Petaluma from LA, mm-hmm. me and my ex, and we stopped at a gas station, and there were two little girls that were, couldn't have been more than 14 years old, sitting at this gas station. It was 2 a.m. and they were trying to make phone calls. The whole time we were getting gas, I was watching them, and they were trying to make phone calls, and they were doing this stuff.
2 a.m.
Two in the morning. And I was watching them, and the guy that worked there seemed a little creepy.
Yeah.
And he was kind of like coming out and looking at them and going back in, and people would pull in, and I was just the whole time staring at them. And finally, when we went to leave, I was like, drive over there. And we pulled up, and I was like, do you guys need a ride home? And they were like, yep. And immediately got in the car. And I was like, first of all, never get into a car with people. And then secondly, did you go to Lou Sutton Grammar School? And they both went to my sister's grammar school. And I got names, and they kind of smelled. It was like clearly they were from the bad side of town, and they got like, they probably snuck out,
right?
And then got stuck somewhere, and then ended up at this gas station out by the freeway where I was,
and
like,
it's not walkable.
No, it was. It's like 5 miles away from any neighborhood,
and it's all farmland and shit.
Yeah, so we dropped them off, and I was like, don't ever do this again. And they were like, and then ran in, and they will. But
oh God, where are they now? I wonder if they remember you.
No, they both own that gas station. Because of my setting them on their way correctly.
Good job.
Thank you. Well, I just wanted to take a second to brag about something good I did for the community. Do you mind?
No, I love it. Thank you. What if they went home and killed their mom? Can I turn this into a bummer real quick?
They were the ones that were all along.
Yep.
That's a good twist-a-roo.
It is. Let's write a book.
They went home and killed their mom.
Oh, I'm dead inside. I want to read one of our, so at the end of the show, we like to do your favorite or your town. No, we're going to do your town murder.
Yeah.
So either we'll have a guest tell us a story, or we're asking you guys to send us your stories. Should we start a my favorite murder Gmail? I probably should.
Sure.
Let's do it. My favorite murder Gmail. And then there's also, there's also a Facebook group, so you can start...
Facebook page, we call it.
Facebook page. Group. Page? I think it's a group. I don't know what I said.
Last time you just called it plain old Facebook page, and it made me laugh really hard. We have Facebook page.
We have Facebook page called My Favorite Murder, and you can tell your story on the front page, on the front. Like, tell everyone your shit, and like you guys should like bond over it and stuff.
I feel like I should also start a Twitter account. Maybe this is business that you guys don't need to hear about, but I should, because it seems like that's also a good way for people.
You're really good at that, and it stresses me out to start from zero, like from zero followers.
I'm really good at starting Twitter accounts.
No, you're good at Twitter.
Well, oh, thanks. It's my passion.
I'm really bad at it. I started like a year ago because I hated it, and I hate it now because I...
It's a difficult exercise.
Yeah.
It's... Can you handle putting things out there and wanting something in return and not getting it?
No.
Well, or can you? Because you do it. And then you get stuff.
It's true. I do get stuff out of it. Okay. Yeah. Start one. Let's do that.
Okay.
Okay. By this point that people are listening, it's going to be up anyways. Okay. I've made a whole file. Let's see. All right. I'm going to close my eyes and scroll and pick one.
Great.
And if it sucks, then we'll delete it and start over.
Okay.
Okay. All right. This is from Todd Deck.
Todd.
You ready for this?
Thanks, Todd.
It starts The Girl in the Box.
Hell yeah.
Hello. Thank you both for sharing your love of true crime. Truth be told, I've always enjoyed the genre and never really got the opportunity to chat about it with people. Blah, 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 blah. It's now time for my true crime story. I am a new public librarian in a rural town. Already sounds awesome.
Thank you.
Dude.
Thank you for your service.
When I first started on the job, my first reference question was, where is the girl in the box? And my initial thought was, what the fuck? Mm-hmm. After some amateur sleuthing, I quickly learned that this patron was asking for a book called Perfect Victim. It's a true crime story detailing the story of a young female hit. We fucking talked about this before on the podcast.
Yeah.
This guy did not. Oh, no. Has it gone up yet, that one?
Yeah. Well, we didn't. It wasn't one of our favorite murders, so it was a sidebar story.
Okay, so I'm not going to get mad at him. They later. Okay. Well, maybe you don't know what he knows about it.
Is he just talking about the story itself, or does he have some personal connection?
I think it happened in the small town he lives in.
Oh, yeah.
Should we? Let's do another one.
Okay. But Todd, thanks, because we love that story.
Thanks, Todd.
Too.
No, I really appreciate it.
That's one of the earlier ones that I ever heard about, and I just couldn't picture. I remember being like 12 or 13 and hearing that story, and I couldn't picture what it meant. Like,
yeah.
How do you keep a person in a box under your bed?
Yeah.
How?
Well, and I had one of those IKEA beds that had drawers underneath it, so I totally get it.
You got it.
But they also put a box on her head.
That was when they trapped her. That's right. When they first had her in the car. They're all about boxes
really
in that family.
The boxes.
Weirdos.
Very weird. Not that they also tortured a woman, but
yeah. And
but the boxes, man. All right. There was one that had something about John Walsh. And so I really want to read that one to you.
Oh, yes, because of my theories that I've been reading.
Oh, my favorite murder, Adam Walsh case. Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
This is from E. Allen. It's very fucking long.
Ethan Allen, the furniture maker?
Ethan Allen. Hello, Georgia.
Big fan.
What a great podcast. Thanks. My info relates to the Adam Walsh who was abducted in 81 from a mall in Hollywood, Florida. In 1978, my dad had this great idea to move our family to Florida to get away from the brutal cold of western Pennsylvania. His growing paranoia and black ice phobias that killed my social life. Oh, I thought he was going to say killed my... we're not allowed to leave the house. Da-da-da-da-da. Can I skip over shit? Is that Dick?
I think so.
Okay. By 1980, I found my first job at the Hollywood Mall, in Woolworths, working at the snack bar. Yeah. Free pretzels and ice cream. But sadly, the icy machine was always on the fritz. The mall was close enough to our house that I could ride my bike to it in about 15 minutes. I remember that it was an indoor mall with a lot of tropical plants, pastel colors, herds of seniors, and totally 80s vibe. The location of Adam Walsh's abduction was the Sears department store at the Hollywood Mall. Now, I wasn't working July 27th, 1981, the day when 6-year-old Adam was abducted, but the news coverage was nonstop beginning that evening. From what I remember, Adam's dad, John Walsh, was the police's top suspect to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
There was lots of silent and not silent judgments from neighbors and community people being about him and his wife, Reeve.
Reeve?
By the way, they're still married with new replacement kids, he says.
Oh, no. Jesus. That's the joke we made, though, right?
Yeah. We made that about JonBenet, right?
I think we opened the door on that, yeah, of, right. Like, have some replacement kids.
Oh, my, yeah. Oh, right. Don't have
one. Sounds
pretty
harsh, though, when you read it back.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the freaky part, he says. My mom worked locally and came home for lunch that day. On her way back to work that afternoon, in which she had to drive right by the mall, she remembers being tailgated towards the freeway. The person eventually pulled around her to get by. It was to the point of her getting a good look at the vehicle and thinking the person was really in a big hurry. When the news of Adam's disappearance was on every local TV station, the police begged anyone with info to call. A tip reported by a witness said they saw Adam being pushed into a blue van by a blonde man when he was abducted. When we heard the info about the blue van on the news, my mom started screaming that the blue van had been tailgating her that day.
Ooh.
I can remember how crazy and gross and creepy it felt. She ended up calling the police and giving them the information. It's like a month later, they find Adam's head in a canal, chopped off with a machete in another part of Florida somewhere. A deviant felon, Otis Toole, who, have you fucking read about this motherfucker?
Yeah, he's the guy that was... him and Gary.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say Gary Ridgway, but that's.
No. Yeah. Him and.
Him and the guy that just murdered everybody. Yeah. And fucked everybody.
Yeah. Someone's yelling it at home. We need a third person to be the person to tell us. His name is. Hold on. Yes. I just saw it today.
He had a glass eye.
Hold on.
I just listened to the last podcast
on
the left about it.
On the left did an episode of
a really good one.
Let me find it.
Oh my God. It's so irritating.
I know.
It's. But I also have a sidebar theory on this if this person doesn't talk about it.
Okay, I want to hear this. Hold on.
Because Otis is the one that says he did it.
You think the other guy did it?
Or Otis, because he has two T's, right?
Henry Lee Lucas.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Yep.
Okay, Henry Lee Lucas, another serial. Okay. Otis Toole, arrested for something else, confesses. Right. Toole says he drove around with Adam's head in his car for a few days before disposing of it. Toole confesses to killing Adam, but he told the police he snatched him in his car, which was an old Cadillac. Let's see here. He totally checks every box on the Know Your Serial Killer study. He then recanted his confession, but in 96, while dying in prison again, admitted to killing Adam. However, there's no actual evidence to link Tool to Adam. So what about the blue van? Is this what you're going to say?
Yes, go ahead.
He says, so what about the blue van? In 2007, there was another investigation and witnesses linking Jeffrey Dahmer to Adam Walsh's disappearance. Is this what you're going to say? He was in Florida at the time and drove a blue van for work.
Yeah.
If you read that info on, Dahmer, he didn't cut off victims' heads. He did cut off victims' heads.
He did.
Often boys, but none as young as Adam. But Dahmer denied killing Adam. Is Dahmer still alive?
No. Okay. They killed him in jail.
Good. The police and John Walsh believe that Tool was the killer of Adam. Police closed the case.
Now, here's another thing. If he is that done?
Yeah.
Because
he says, Karen, you were hilarious on Twitter, and I loved your Mark Maron interview.
Oh, thanks. This was Ethan Allen? Oh, Allen?
Yeah, E. Allen. And then he says, wait, Georgia, I don't really know your work. It's on the murder podcast. I think you're cool. Thanks,
oh, nice.
E.
Yeah. Thanks, E. So I was reading all those, like, the Jeffrey Dahmer thing came in, out of the blue. I was like, what? Which is kind of amazing. But it didn't seem like that was his, he's not a kid.
Yeah, but cutting off a head and driving a blue van are so much closer than just to some guy being like, yeah, I totally did it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Blonde and, like, young and blonde, and they had a really clear description. But here's the thing. Adam Walsh, both of his front teeth were missing the day that he was there at the mall, because his picture, I think it says baseball picture, mm-hmm. that they used of, like, have you seen this boy, had only been taken like a week or two before, mm-hmm. and he has no front teeth. And the head that they found in the canal had one front tooth. So there's
my whole body is shivering.
A whole theory that the boy in the canal was not Adam Walsh.
Sorry, I need a minute. I'm like literally going to start crying right now.
Oh no, is it too?
That is the most life is so crazy.
It's so crazy, and like the answers we're being given aren't necessarily the truth.
No, they're just used to placate us. Or
the bad part of me telling you that is that in learning it, and I was just, this was me because I was home at my family, so I spent tons of time just staring at my phone, like in my room. And I clicked on one too many links because I'm very good at avoiding upsetting things. Yeah. I never, like, you know, never listen to 911 calls. Yeah. I try not to look at too many pictures. But I clicked on this thing and they had the picture of the retrieved.
No, they did not.
Decapitated head that they found in the canal.
Why is that like public?
It's like you can tell it's a crime scene photo. Black
Someone
and white.
Took a photo of it.
But I wish I hadn't seen it. But
did you see the tooth?
Yep.
And did it look like Adam?
I mean, you can only see part of the fit. Here's the thing. I truly only looked at it for like 4 seconds because you know how in a movie when there's a decapitated head and they look like they're kind of melting?
You said decapitated, by the way.
Decapitated.
You said it twice. No. I thought it was just an accident, but then you just did it again.
I don't think I normally say that.
What if that's what you do?
I always try to get a little sexual with stuff like this. I think it's appropriate. Just to remind everybody to stay sexy.
And just like not to get too fucked up. It's
don't remember dicks.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to do that at all. It's such an upsetting looking picture that I only looked at for a second, but there's one big like child's grown in front tooth absolutely in the front. So there's no way in 12 days that boy grew that tooth in. And one of the most upsetting things I read when I was reading that story is he was standing at like a PlayStation or an Atari stand in Sears with his mom, and his mom went away to go get something, and he was 20 feet away, if not less. And she just went to go over here to like return something. And then there was a fight. The kids started fighting about the video game, and a security guard came and kicked them all out, pushed them out of the Sears, made them all leave. So a 6-year-old is standing out on the sidewalk alone, kicked out of the Sears, and like
no
too
idea.
Shy to go back inside or be like, no, my mom's in there. I have to be in there. He just goes where they tell him to go, and he basically is standing out on the street alone.
I'm going to throw up.
Sorry.
No, it's incredible. Like that to me is like, this is what it felt like to be in the 80s. Like you just always felt like you were about to be fucking snatched off the goddamn street.
Yeah.
Because of this story specifically.
Yeah. People didn't know to tell their kids like a security guard is not a cop, and you can tell an adult, no, my mom's over there.
Right.
You can do things. But he was so little.
How old was he?
Six.
Oh, he's a baby.
He was a baby.
Oh, people are awful.
Super gross.
Why is life so
But that was a good one. His mom potentially could be supporting the Dahmer theory of the Adam Walsh
case. Yeah, I wonder. I mean, I wonder why John is sticking to
Otis Tool.
Yeah. I wonder why he he doesn't want to change it. He probably...
They want it to be over.
He's got to be intense, right?
John Wall?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like at dinner?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to talk to him at a party.
No, I don't think so.
How are you?
I honestly feel like the couple times I've let my mind slightly wander into the possibility of that, I'm like, I would just be on pills from the day it happened until the day I died.
Yep.
Why would you ever?
Well, fucking Michelle's mom. Just bye.
Yes, check out.
Yep, can't. I can't.
So much.
Fuck. Please don't kill us, everyone. How do we end this on a positive note?
Please don't kill us, everyone, is as positive as one could get.
This gets. By the way, this is a comedy podcast, right? technically?
That's what they say. I mean, it's more like a slumber party where things happen that are great and then things happen against your will. And that's just junior high. Too bad.
Fucking life, man.
That's too bad. So is that counting as our hometown?
Yeah, unless you have one that you want to.
Well, I have my friend Audrey's from when I went home.
Oh my God, yes.
It's just that I recorded it at my niece's 9th birthday party. So
that's so sick.
Yeah, we were in the other room. We were far away from any child.
I just love that.
It was mostly adults. Yeah.
Let's go in the other room.
And this is my friend Audrey, who I've been friends with since 6th grade.
Okay, I love it.
And it's about my hometown, too.
Yeah.
Equally exciting. Okay, let me make this work.
All right, so my favorite story, it's not really a murder, but it's something that happened here in Petaluma. It was 2003. And the guy was known as the Petaluma Prowler, a.k.a. to the locals, the Petaluma Tickler. So this guy, hooded sweatshirt, whole thing, creeper, in the summertime, would go around to a certain section of town and look for open doors and windows. And he would sneak in at night and he would grope women or couples or whatever and tickle their feet. And they would scream and then he would run away. So it kept happening weekend night after weekend night, Friday, Saturday. Maybe he'd take a Saturday off, do a Sunday. So everyone was getting so freaked out. They had community center meetings about it. When are we going to catch this guy? So one night, my friend and I, coming home from the bars, we're driving down our street and we see that there's this whole police line kind of cordoning off the area. So we know that something big is going on. And so we go and we talk to the cop and we're like, what's going on? And he said, oh, I can't really tell you, but make sure you lock your door when you go inside. So we thought for sure we were going to see him bust out of the bushes in any second. And they never caught him, but they think they knew who it was and they sent him off, shipped him out of town to Sacramento. So it was the greatest thing that ever happened. It was very exciting and terrifying at the same time because, tonight could have been the night that he decided to murder somebody. You don't know.
He had to keep doing. That's a great story.
I love that they just ran him out of town Wild West style instead of
just Sacramento's problem now.
Yep, go up there.
Gosh, that's. I wonder. Yeah, that's a good story.
You wake up because someone's tickling your feet.
What the fuck? You know what? Here's the thing, though. Don't hitchhike, as we've said, but don't leave your windows and doors open at night. I don't care how hot it is.
Yeah.
Sweat your fucking balls off.
Or move upstairs.
Move. Literally, I would never live on the ground floor because I'm a terrified, anxiety-filled human being.
I mean, it makes sense. But also, it's like that thing of people getting in, people wanting to get into your house.
Yeah.
They'll do it if they want to do it.
When I walk by, this is awful. I shouldn't admit this. When I walk by a house, I'm like, I could get into that house. I'm just like, this is what's wrong with this person. I want to get into their house to be like, look it, I'm in here. Look
should
how
I
easy
be in
that
here?
Was.
No.
No.
Should you be?
And you live on a busy street and I snuck right in.
I have that feeling in New York all the time, but it's almost like the opposite where you can look into people's apartment windows in the front, but it almost feels because it's so common, it's not as inviting because it just happens all the time.
Yeah.
People are used to being able to see right into someone's life.
Yeah. Don't do that. Well, a tickling is a much funnier thing to end on than a toothless
I mean, it's slightly up. I think he was a little molestier than, the Petalum and Tickler's kind of a fun, it's like the Hamburglar, yeah. Burglar, where it's like, yeah, actually it was,
Did you say the Hamburglar?
Yeah. But I messed it up.
I love it.
I tried to put the word dick in there.
I was laughing over a ham. Decapitated. Send us to My Favorite Murder. Send us your hometown stories. We fucking love them.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a murder, even like crazy crimes, shit that happened.
Something creepy, like a Cropsey story, the woods. Oh, and people who live near the woods that have creepy woods things.
Yeah.
And then go to iTunes and review us and subscribe and do those things that help us.
Please rate, review, subscribe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please do that. Because, like, two women hosting a podcast. Let's beat the men. Making this feminist out of nowhere.
Are you going to make it like you didn't believe in us? Like two women hosting a podcast? This thing's bullshit.
No, I mean, like, don't you guys want us to do well? Because we're two women and we're like...
Yeah, Hillary, do you hear us?
Yeah, I'm making this feminist immediately. Fun. Don't kill women.
It really is, ultimately.
Yeah.
It's a feminist movement.
It is.
Of talking about murder.
We're feminists.
Is that all? Anything else?
Yeah, no.
Any final thoughts?
Don't murder us.
This really seems like a concern of yours.
I was just thinking, I don't want to talk about it because I'm just going to convince someone to kill me by telling them why I think it's possible, like they should do it.
I have to say, I feel ready. I've been prepared for so long.
That was Karen, by the way. I just want everyone to know that was Karen who said that. Oh my God, I'm gonna prepare my speech for when it happens, like to the news. Like, we didn't know.
Here's your speech. She asked for it. Straight up, intentionally recorded it, set it into a microphone.
Oh.
All right.
Thanks for listening, guys.